Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Fall of Lucifer and how it happened. We know that Lucifer got prideful. He was over music and then he just fell. And usually that's all that we really get, you know, that Lucifer, he just became too, you know, high and mighty, and then God kicked him out. But it's a little bit deeper than that. So I went into detail about Lucifer, and we talked a little bit about that. And then I talked about also just the spirit of pride, period. You know, because they were in heaven. They were in a perfect environment, and we know that the glory of God is so powerful that no sin, no demon can stay there in his presence. Now, demons hate the glory of God. They hate the light because they love darkness. That's why we say the kingdom of darkness, because it's the exact opposite of what the kingdom of God is. The glory of God is light. And it is the very existence of God. Demons flee when the glory of God comes. Demons scatter when the glory of God comes. However, just a reminder, there is one spirit that can exist in the glory. And that same spirit caused Lucifer to change in the glory. So I talk more in detail about how he was made, how God created Lucifer. And God created Lucifer. My goodness, he was beautiful. He was perfect. God created him, and he was just a replica of who God is. God is light. And God, I can't go into it all right now because we're not on the study of just God, but the way God is, he's light himself. There's no light that is shining upon God. God is light, a divine light, brighter than the sun. There's a glory light. And inside of God, our Heavenly Father, there are gems and diamonds and rubies and all types of cuts of diamonds, flawless cuts. And in me, it's just a sight to behold. So when he created Lucifer was a replica of God. He created him with gems and stones. And like I mentioned before, there are theologians that even say in their studies and their research that the way Lucifer was created, that even his very existence created a worship. He had pipes and organs, and when he walked, the very step and movement created a worship for the Lord. So he was an archangel. We talked about archangels. You all remember that. And how he was, there were three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer, the archangels, they are privileged because they get to go into the presence of God. They're not all angels created stand before God. A lot of them are created, and like I said, because you're an archangel, you're beginning, you're the prototype, you have rule over your world. So you go back and you command your angels what thus said God. So with that being said, the rule, the angels that they had rule over weren't summoned to God the Father. They often, God often called the archangels to give them what he wanted to be, you know, done or executed in their directive. So when you have that privilege to stand before God the Father, it is a mighty privilege. It is an honor. But one thing about God, you cannot go into his presence and his glory is shining upon you and you not walk out of there changed. You not walked out of there a different person or even better person. The glory that is upon God, Heavenly Father, it shines upon you. So you imagine being before him for hours and long periods of time. You're just absorbing all of his glory and it shines upon you. So that's what happened with Lucifer. When he will walk out from the presence of God, still the glory, the light that will shine off our Heavenly Father will still be reflecting in Lucifer. Now, without the glory of God, Lucifer was just a container of stone. They were beautiful cut gems, but they had no brightness to it, no light. So So the light came when he was in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So when he left out of the presence of our Heavenly Father, that's when he began to look at himself and say, wow, I am a bad mamma jamma. He began to look at himself and become adorned on himself because he began to see himself as light, see himself in the brightness. And now that's when he would leave our Heavenly Father's presence. He would take his eyes off the Heavenly Father and begin to adorn himself. So that same mentality is kind of here on earth, especially because, you know, this is where the spirit of pride is able to come in. The spirit of pride comes in our strength, not our weaknesses. The spirit of pride comes to attack our strength. So if you are beautiful, if you have success, if you have achievements, if you have accomplishments, that's where the spirit of pride is going to attack you first. And you're going to stop thinking about, because in the beginning, let's say you were earning your master's degree, and you stayed up all night, and you will be crying, and you will be praying to the Lord, Lord, just help me earn my degree. Please, you were just so humble while you were earning your degree because you were tired, you had to stay up late at night, and you were working, and you still got kids, and you just needed the Lord's supernatural strength. Well, now the months have passed, you've earned your master's degree, and now you're standing there in graduation, and now you're going on into the workforce. You forget all about those lonely nights when it took God supernaturally to touch you, to get you through that night, or to get you through the next day at work when you stayed up writing your thesis and doing different things. Now you have taken your eyes off God, and you're now saying, well, I did this. I stayed up late at night. I worked my fingers to the bone. You forget all about what God is, but you forget that just like Lucifer, you are just an empty vessel. Lucifer is just an empty container of stones, but so are we as humans. We are just an empty vessel. We forget so quick that all that we are and all that we have is all because of the glory of God.
Amen.
All because of the glory of God.
Amen.
All because of the glory of God. So then we talked about the different types of pride. I won't go into all of them because I've repeated them before, but all because of the spirit of pride is what causes us to get our eyes and our focus and our mind and our heart off of God. So we know what pride is. Pride is just defined as an excessively high opinion of oneself. And we know the synonym, vain, conceited. Pride is just when you glorify your abilities, your worth, and your personality. You just drunk on yourself is what I like to say. Just drunk on yourself. And God despises that. You have no reason to be drunk on your own self. He's the one that made you who you are. So how are you going to be beautiful? How are you going to be drunk or vain or have pride in your looks when God created you to look like that? How are you going to be prideful and vain on the success or how you have a beautiful family or you have a beautiful car? In God, the Bible says every increase comes from the Lord. So this is where we're going to talk about today, because if you remember, I also talked about the different or the eight foundational actions that produce the character of humility. And I mentioned that very briefly and talked about it. There were so many scriptures that support this. But very briefly, I'll mention it again, the humility of fasting, the humility of praying in the spirit of brokenness, the humility of seeking God, the humility of praise, the humility of submitting, the humility of patience, the humility of suffering, and the humility of worship. And if you can do all of those consistently, if you're busy doing all eight of those things, you really have no time. There is no time or idleness that can become available for the spirit of pride to enter into. Because if you're so busy praying and fasting and being broken and really seeking the Lord, all your attention is on the Lord. And you don't have time to even form the I's in your sentence. Well, I did this, and I got this, and I. Because you're too busy talking about, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. I couldn't do it without you. So God is trying to get us to a place of brokenness. And a lot of times people don't like to hear the word brokenness or humility because it almost makes you feel like you're defeated. But let me tell you something, the most incorrect, misinformed perception of humility. Because where you are humble and when you are in humility and the Lord is honoring that act, that's when you gain power. That's when you gain the honor from the Lord. Because even the word of God lets us know that it is the least of them that obtain the greatest honor. So we're going to talk about today a little bit more on pride and some of the hindrances of pride, different degrees of humility, because there's different degrees that a person can operate on. And we're always to be in strive of more humility in our life, because like I said before, pride affects our strength, and everybody has different strengths. So pride affects each and every one of us in different ways. And therefore, if you can conquer, let's say you were very vain on your looks, and if you get over that and you realize, okay, I'm not prideful in my looks anymore, then pride is going to observe you and see how else pride can enter your life. Now it's going to try and pump you up maybe in your achievements, how well you're working on your job and you got a promotion. And you're going to try and get you to feel like, yeah, you did this, only you. Your late nights are working on this project, your commitment and good work ethic. So pride is always going to try and attack you, and it's important to remember that this is a lifelong battle until the Lord comes and raptures the church, or until your time comes and you cross over into everlasting life. You are always going to be in pursuit of humility, because pride is always going to be in pursuit of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God hates pride, and that is because it is the doorway by which all other sins come. So, some believe withholding tears is not a big issue when we have grown up into the very existence of don't be emotional, especially for our young men. You know, you can't cry. We teach our men, don't cry, be a man. Men don't cry. When it can be, I mean, that's the biggest lie ever. When so many times in the Word of God, Jesus expressed his emotions and even his tears, especially when he came down to his best friend, Lazarus. And we have to be cautious about some of the traditions that we are born into here in this world, because some of us, we just know what we're taught. But when we go into the fullness of who God is and we start to line up our life according to the Word of God, you'll start comparing some of the traditions that your mom taught you, your grandma taught you, your aunt, an uncle, whoever had that influence in your life, and you'll say, you know what? I don't think this lines up. Because for me personally, I grew up, and now the biggest thing from, you know, everyone who was way seasoned and older than I was, they told me all a man has is his pride. All you got to do is nurture it. And I grew up believing that until I started reading the Word of God for myself, until I started seeking the Lord and wanted to strive to be more like him. And I saw that the more I got closer to the Lord, the more he started revealing pride is not of him. And I said, but Lord, that's how you made men. Men are prideful. That's all they got. And he said, no, that's not all they have. They have a lot more. They have everlasting life. They have the fruit of the Spirit. But pride is nowhere in there. This is a gift from me. And I said, whoa. So then that really got me on this journey of, well, Lord, what else don't you like? What else am I believing that is a lie contrary to your spirit? So I just encourage you all, as you continue in your walk with Christ, start to line up some of the things that you've been taught, some of the things that even, not even if it's your family, if you come from other churches and you have a pastor that you was under for 30 years or whatever it is, and a lot of times we're taught error doctrine. And, you know, sometimes when they preach, they think that that's really the revelation of the Scripture. But as we continue to pray for God's revelation, we'll realize that a lot of things that we've been taught over the years, a lot of things that have been discussed over the pulpit are not necessarily lining up with the Word of God. Pride is very hard to detect. You usually don't know pride is even in your life until it starts to show outwardly. Until it starts to show in your actions, in your conversation. And sometimes you can even have an outward look of pride. You know, sometimes you can even tell when somebody's humble just by their stance, just by their eyes. You can even tell if somebody is humble just by the way they gesture. And I mean, because we all see it, it's mocked on in cartoons, in the movies. You know a prideful person even sometimes by the way they walk. Their neck is so stiff, their nose is up in the air. Or, you know, if pride is operating in the form of rebellion, you know that pride is there because when you're trying to tell them something right, they're crossing their arms or rolling their eyes and having a I don't care, I'm not listening, stubborn type hard-hearted gesture. So it's important to know how pride is operating in your life before it actually has the strength and the outward ability to show. It's kind of like with dehydration. That the doctors say that when your lips become dry, or even if you become thirsty, dehydration has already been set in your body for quite some time. The first sign of dehydration isn't necessarily a thirst or dry skin, but it starts way before that. So it's kind of like a silent killer, you know, so to speak. You don't know when pride is in your heart until it's too late. It's now demonstrating in your actions, in your conversation. So that's why it's important to stay before the Lord in his presence. So what are some of the hindrances of pride? Just like the fruit of the Spirit, pride has fruit as well. Pride has fruit as well. And it's so important that we recognize what are some of the fruits of pride. Just going to list a little bit of, you know, some of the fruit of pride. There are some definitions, but I'm not going to take up time. This is going to be for your own research. This is going to be for your own research. Because I'm not going to take the time. And I want to take the time right now just to say that you're here in KCI, and for some people you're not necessarily a member, but you're here to hear what the Word of God is, and that's great, and we thank God for that. But this is a place where you do get fed, and you do get the Word of God. But it does not take the place of your own personal Bible study. It should not take the place of your own personal
time.
You work out your own salvation. You
come
can't
on
depend on just what I'm teaching on Sunday on life empowerment, and then also maybe if we have words during prayer Wednesday. That is not your working out of salvation. That is not that's where you come to get refilled, re-energized, so that you can have enough strength to go back and research the Word of God for yourself. And I don't know if you know this, but if you don't, I'm letting you know, I'm reminding you, even after service, even on Monday, even on Tuesday, even on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back again on Sunday, you have to be in the Word of God for yourself. You got to pray. But praying is oftentimes, when it comes down to the body of Christ, the one that they choose the most because it's easier. It's easier pretty much to open up your mouth and talk.
That's
Because also, in prayer, you don't have to dictate how long you have to be in it. Because we can't sit here and say, you got to pray for such and such hours. That's for you and the Lord to work out. So a lot of times we find out people pray, and they say, I've been praying, but when you ask them how long, well, I get about 15 minutes in a day. That's, you know, then you're like, okay, you know, we got to talk to them about the depthness of God, how you got to really spend some time deeper in prayer. So prayer is usually the first thing that believers choose. But when you study the Word of God, not read, study, when that means you're looking up words. You're looking up what it means in Hebrew, what it means in Greek. You're researching and seeing what other scriptures in the Word of God confirm that scripture. When you're reading, having the time to study your Word, God will give you revelation. He'll give you understanding on what it is the scriptures truly say, and it will work out some details in your own life. You got some things before the Lord. You got some things you got to work out. You got some things you got to work out for your flesh, your lust, your temper, whatever it is. When you're reading the Word of God, it is also a time of transformation. The Holy Spirit makes the words alive in you. As you digest it by reading, He changes you. He uses those words, the power of those words, to transform your heart. So I have
That's
to get off this little sidebar because I want to let you all know you got to get into the Word for yourself. A lot of times I come across people in this ministry and out of the ministry because we talk to a lot of people who just reach out to Apostle and we counsel them during the week. But we got to let them know the answer that you're even asking God for. And you want us to call down fire. You want us to call down the prince demons in your life when God is saying the answer was right there in your Bible. So we come to find a lot of people are not in their word as they should. Not saying that you're not reading your word at all, but as you should be.
That's right.
Study your word because this is just doing what I'm teaching you is in the word of God. All these scriptures are in the word of God. As we continue to teach, I want to encourage each and every person under the sound of my voice to really get into your word because that's the only thing that's going to keep you and that's the only thing that's going to change you. Prayer is good. I'm not taking anything from prayer because prayer is what is needed. But you got to have a balance. You got to be rooted in the Word of God. You don't
That's
know
right.
God. That's the biggest thing, and then I'm finished. That's the biggest thing that people come to us on. I want to know God. I want to know what He's saying. I want to hear Him. And we say, well, you'll know Him by reading more about Him. As you read
That's right.
about God, you'll learn His voice. You'll learn His ways. When those voices talk to you, you don't know if it's yourself, God, or the devil, you can line it up with His Word. And you can say, I just read that in the scripture. God said that He would never do that. So I know this is not of the Lord. And you can rebuke Him. I got to put that out there, people of God, to continue to read and study your word in the name of Jesus. So we talked about the fruit or some of the characteristics of pride. And I'm going to name just a few. There's a lot of them. But you can know and recognize pride in your own personal life or even in someone else's life by some of the fruit the pride produces. So if the fruit of the Spirit can have characteristics, then why can't pride? So it makes perfect sense. So you'll know some of the things in your own life. This is called self-examination time because you're going to notice that even in the smallest areas, this may be something for you. So some of the fruit of this, you can have your pen and paper or just listen to the callback line. I'm just going to read through it. Stubbornness. I talked about that even briefly a few minutes ago. Stubbornness. When you don't even want to receive or listen to somebody, you're just stubborn. You can have a stubborn mind, a stubborn heart. You just don't want to receive. It also demonstrates in rebellion, in disobedience, in high-mindedness. High-mindedness, you know, is overestimation of yourself, your abilities, your talents, just making it more than what it is. And that leads into exaggeration. Some of you all may be this, have had that, or know somebody else who exaggerates just greatly. You know, just want to make it seem like they're bigger than what it is. So you call, you know, one of your coworkers, and, hey, how was your weekend? Oh, my weekend was wonderful. You know, we went to the fine dining restaurant, and, you know, it was like $200 a ticket to get in. And, you know, you just want to exaggerate and just say what they did over the weekend when really probably they just stayed at home and watched somebody else go into a restaurant on TV. You know, but they always want to make someone else jealous.
Amen.
You're lying.
And God doesn't like that. And also boasting, being boastful, to talk about something or someone or even one's own stuff above measure, being self-willed, selfish. You self-seek only things that gratify your own self. You're conceited. You are self-exalted. You always want to talk about you. Have you ever talked to anybody and you're in the middle of telling something about something that's going on with you, and they, as soon as you take a breath, they take that time to jump in and say, I know what you mean because I did this, and then the whole forget that your mama just died, forget that your dog got hit by a car, it's about God is saying Jesus has some of the characteristics of fruit of pride, being vain, you know, you're idle. You know, you show no purposeful. Your vanity. You know, God is saying, oh, sexual desires too. Pride causes and leads you for sexual desires, so that you could be someone. I mean, we all have seen it. How you know it could be man or woman, somebody on your job, somebody in the church, a relative. They always want to be around and the way they sashay, the way that they walk, the cologne, the way that they're even talking, they want to be sexy all the time so people can lust after them. And that always proves the insecurity in their own life. You're pompous or prejudiced. Pride comes in the form of prejudice as well, thinking that you're better than someone else. Pride also has the fruit of competition. Jealousy, scornful, and hypocrisy, denial, pretend, strife, argument. I'm just naming a few that will show in people's lives as a fruit, so that you know when you see this, there's a spirit of pride there. They're haughty. They're egotistical, having a greater opinion about themselves. You know, when you're just on an ego trip, they could do anything and everything. I mean, you just know. And, you know, I've met people like that. I know their background. I know they have no expertise. But as soon as something new comes around, oh, I can do it. I'm an expert at that. And I'm looking like, really? Because I never knew you could ever do anything like that, you know. So people just always are jumping to the occasion to show off. Now, there's a difference between having confidence in yourself and then being over-exaggerated or having an ego and an inflation. So pride also demonstrates as judging, and this is a big thing because that goes in the world and for the church, and this is one of the things the apostle was talking about, how, you know, you can't judge me, only God can judge me, and we use that, you know, so loosely, but really in the correct way, people who are Christians and believers, they can judge, but they have to judge according to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Or their view. But, and when pride is there, this is why we say, how can pride disrupt your view? But when you have pride, it obscures everything. It makes you blind. So when you could judge somebody by the word of God to help them, to bring them to conviction so that they can repent and go forward, pride sets in, and when you judge others, you then like to blame them. You then like to now put condemnation on them. And this will definitely keep you from obtaining a glory in God. And then also you have the spirit of superiority. When you're always thinking that you're above somebody, thinking that you're better than somebody, you know, it doesn't matter. Both of you all could be on the same level doing the same duty, but that individual could just think that they're the boss. I always want to take control. I always want to be looked at as the leader, the boss, the head. So God is saying, when you see some of these things, begin to pray for your sisters and brothers. But most of all, when you see it in your life, in your own life, and this is what we're going to get into today, this is how you need to go forward in destroying that, because the very root of, because the Bible is very clear, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I wanted to tell you all that there are many hindrances of pride. Pride hinders you from receiving the truth. This is so important because a lot of people are going to miss this when it comes down to the things of God, and also wisdom just for their own life, everyday living. When you have pride, it is very hard to tell somebody the truth. It keeps you from receiving the truth because it deceives the mind and hardens the heart. It's kind of like an illness. It attacks the mind and the heart, and it makes it hard. It makes it, you know, almost stale. You know, it's just, it works and attacks, and when it can harden your heart, that's when you really need to seek the Lord, because now you're entering into a danger zone. So pride keeps you from receiving correction as well. And guess what? Pride also will work where you won't be able to receive your blessing. You won't be able to receive reproof or instruction or wisdom or knowledge. When a person is very prideful, it hinders them from learning anything that comes from someone else because they have the spirit of the I already know. Pride always says, I already know. I already got
that. That's right. That's right.
And pride keeps you from talking to people with respect as well. When you get so high and mighty and drunk on yourself, you don't care about others' feelings. You begin to be disrespectful, rude. You'll cut people off. We all have had people talk like that to us. And maybe before we got saved, we talked to people like that. when you're disrespecting someone and you can't love and have meaningful conversations, and depending on what category, because there's different categories, different levels of pride and different areas of pride, it depends on your carnal status quo or your perception of people. So there are some people who treat and talk to certain people with respect, but talk to others who may be poor or downtrodden different. So you have people who you think, and they may even be poor. They'll talk to some people with respect, but then when it comes down to the homeless, and I've seen this with my own eye, when it came down to homeless people or people out, they begin to talk down to them. I've even seen where people were, you know, very rude to homeless people and spit on them or even tried to kick them or even steal the little money in their cup. And when I saw that, that's when I was in and I tried to do something and give them money and, you know, just try to make them feel a little better. But you can't kick a horse while it's down. But God is watching all of this, and they repent. You know, definitely that's when they have to answer to the Lord. So,
man.
But the very thing I want to get at is that pride will hinder you and cause you to miss the highest level of God that he has for you. So God's way is if you exalt yourself, you will be abased or brought low. If you think high of yourself and you're trying to boast on yourself, God will abase you. He will bring you low. But the way it works with the Lord is if you humble yourself, you shall be exalted or elevated higher. Pride is what will keep you out of your promised land.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.